You're listening to the Be Well, Be Wild podcast. I'm Jenny Wolf, and with over 13 years of coaching experience, I know a thing or two about transforming the way you live, love, and lead. If you're looking to wildly upgrade your life, relationships, productivity, mental, physical, spiritual well-being, then you're in the right place. My goal on this podcast is to show you how to authentically leverage greater well-being, connection, and leadership to create true joy and lasting success at home and work. Leave it to me to provide you with the tools, skills, and mindset shifts required to say bye to the status quo life and hello to being well and wildly successful. Hey guys, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm excited for this one because one, I just got off of a coaching call that really inspired this conversation, and it had me go back into the days when I used to teach yoga and study yoga philosophy, and I had heard this story that was really, really powerful for me and really changed my life when I was going through a really difficult time. And so I went back into the archives and I had written a blog in like 2017, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually such great information. It was such a good reminder for me and for my client today, and I really want to share it with you because I know that all of us have been in a situation where we take things personally, we get upset, we get frustrated, we get angry with other people, and it's the human experience. And even though we could sit there all day and tell ourselves, hey, don't take that personally, we're human beings, and it's easy to do that. And so it's inevitable that we're going to be facing challenges where we are perhaps misunderstood, that maybe someone's going to accuse you of something that you actually didn't do, or maybe you're just going to be faced with some type of challenge where it's really, you know, hard for you to stay calm, collected, centered, and really being the best version of you. So I want to give you some practical steps, but I also want to share this story with you, this really old story that was useful for me during the time, and then now it continues to be useful for me. So if you have ever been accused of something that you didn't do, or if you've ever been in a situation where you were completely misunderstood, I want you to think about what you did, or just imagine that scenario. What would you do? How would you react? What if there was a way for you to stay calm and centered even when you're faced with challenges that threaten your reputation, your work, your peace of mind? So this episode will explore that power of staying present, compassionate, kind, your best self, even in difficult moments. So we'll learn from the inspiring story of a monk named Hotkin and discover some practical steps that you can take to cultivate a calm and centered response in your own life. So why is this important? Well, we know that life is full of these unexpected situations. It could be at work, at home, when you're just out living your life. And learning to stay calm and respond with grace can help you manage stress. It can improve your relationships and navigate difficult situations with more ease, essentially allowing you to make clear decisions and be strong and resilient. So what you may have been experiencing when I was giving those scenarios earlier is that maybe you were imagining you being reactive, being impulsive when things get stressful. And I know from my own experiences and from the things that I've heard my clients talk about too, is like that after they have that reaction, that they can often feel regretful. or that they missed an opportunity in some way. So when we learn to stay calm, and maybe calm's not the best word, but when we learn to stay centered, that allows us to make clear-headed decisions and respond with grace. So what we also know, and if you can imagine this, is that when you cultivate a sense of compassion, that this creates a more positive and peaceful life for yourself and those around you. So if you're a parent, if you're a leader, if you're running your own business and you have clients, employees, patients, fill in the blank, is that important to you? Do you want to cultivate a more positive experience around yourself, around for those around you, and for you? This essentially is connected to our well-being, which is why we're talking about it. And it's connected to leadership. Whether we're looking at leading at work or leading at home, and our well-being plays a huge role in how we show up. When you are sourced, you show up as your best self. When you aren't, it's more challenging to do so. When you feel depleted, we're more likely to be reactive. So for me, I like to have a game plan. I like to have an idea or a metaphor or an example or a mindset or something that can anchor me to be my best version of myself. Even if that means in the moment I'm not going to respond or react to the difficult situation or the thing that is challenging, it might just mean that I need a moment and I'm going to take a step back so that I can reassess and look at how I really want to be responding in this scenario. So this can be so helpful in challenging relationships that perhaps you have to have, even if you could choose to not have them. This can be challenging in, or this can be helpful in work situations that maybe you have to make decisions quickly, maybe if things move fast, or there can be bad information that you're getting, or maybe you're getting some bad news. And what is it that you want to do in those moments? So I'm going to first share the story with you, and then I want to go into those practical steps because hopefully we can start to draw and you can see how this story will highlight what those steps are. And this is how I came up with them. And there's so many things that you could probably get from this story rather than what I'm just sharing with you. So obviously take your own things away from this, but hopefully I'm saying this guy's name right. It's Haukin, H-A-U-K-I-N. So there's a story of a monk named Haukin. And in his village, a young woman becomes pregnant and points to Haukin when her angered parents ask her who the father is. After the baby is born, the parents take the baby to Haukin and tell him he is responsible for the baby. He responds, "Is that so?" and gracefully accepts the baby without any experience of taking care of a baby. And he proceeds to provide for the baby's needs with clothing, food, love, and everything that the baby would need. The villagers where Haukin is become really resentful toward this once respected monk because his reputation is trashed. However, Haukin diligently continues to put his attention and effort on the baby, taking care of the baby. Several years later, the young woman who accused Haukin, she is filled with remorse, and she confesses that Haukin is not the father of the baby and reveals the name of who the actual father is. And the parents immediately go to see the monk and apologize and take the child. And Håkon watch as they take the child away. And he obviously had cared for this child since birth. And he says to himself, "Is that so?" So the story is derived from Zen Flesh, Zen Bones by Paul Reps, and is called "Is That So?" or "Håkon and the Baby." So I find the story really powerful. This Zen monk remained calm, compassionate, despite being falsely accused of something. And he stayed in his character. And this serves for me as inspiration to respond with grace, even when we're under pressure. And what I really get from this is that he stayed in his truth. He knew what was true for him. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't yell and scream. He didn't get angry. He said, "Is that so?" And while we're not saying that you need to do the same thing if that happened to you, because I don't know if I would. I don't think I would. This is obviously a really extreme example, but I think that the baby can represent whatever else we're devoted to in our life, the character of who we want to be being in our life. How do you want to be showing up for yourself, for those people around you, and being devoted to that, which is essentially the truth of who you are? So when we look at perhaps a framework for this, the things that I think about are truth, control, compassion, and story. So those are the words: truth, control, compassion, and story. And so there's four things that I often think about when I think about this story. And those, I'm going to turn them into steps for you so it's a little bit more practical. But one, with truth, this is knowing your truth. So what does that freaking mean? People say that and we're like, what the hell? So just like Håkon, when we take a moment to connect to our core values and intentions, so essentially when I'm asking you like who you want to be being in the world, this can guide us through these challenging situations. It can remind us of what we're capable of and what we're actually committed to. And the second part of this is accepting what you can't control. And this is easier said than done. But essentially what this means is focusing your energy. So when we say that, when I say focus your energy, what I mean is what you're talking about, what you're thinking about, what you're acting on. So focus your energy on the things that you can influence: your energy, your thoughts, what you're talking about, and your actions. So when we focus on what we can control and we accept what we can't control and we start to separate those things out, what you can probably see is that what's fully in your control is your own reaction. And while we might want to go in a safe space and scream and yell and vent, that is totally normal and human, and we need to do that work as well. We also are looking at how do we want to react in that scenario? Who do we want to be being there? And that's why I said earlier, you know, it's really important for me anyway to take time away from the scenario before I decide on what's in my control and what's not in my control. Because I do know that my own reaction's in my control. And even if we react in a way that we don't want to, I think of it as like you can always go out and come back in. You can get redos. most of the time we can get redos. There are a few scenarios that no, we can't. And the more that we practice this, the more that you're trained for it. And you're ready for those scenarios that are more challenging. And I think that when we look at this step, for lack of a better word, around accepting what you can't control, is essentially this comes down to looking at where am I putting my energy? Where is it impactful? Where is it useful? And where is it aligned with who I want to be being in the world? And so acceptance is a challenging thing, I think, because we can maybe totally identify what we can control, but it might be hard to accept that. And this kind of goes hand in hand with knowing your truth, but it's also like being honest with ourselves, like knowing like, hey, this is completely out of my control. What they're doing, what they're saying, how they're showing up, the information that they're sharing, the things that they're doing, I have no control over. You have no control over. We can't control what other people are doing. And as much as we might want to, accepting that and being really honest with ourselves is a huge part of this process, because then we can shift our energy. Because otherwise, at least in my own experience, it's almost like we're banging our head up against the wall. And something here is like, especially if you're enduring a situation that is challenging and it's repetitively challenging, meaning like it's something that's not going to go away. And when you stand back and you look at it, maybe you can see that it's predictable how that person is, who they're being, what they're going to say, what they're going to do next. And one thing that I often been saying to my clients is don't be surprised by what's predictable. That's part of acceptance, is like knowing like, hey, like, of course that person did that because that is what they continually do. Why am I surprised by it? And instead of me trying to shift or put my energy into how they're being and how they're showing up or what they're saying, then I can stand back and I can look at what is actually in my control. I remember I've done therapy for years and years and years, and the therapist that I was working with when I was like around, I think I was like 19, 20, I remember she said something to me that stuck with me. And the reason it stuck with me is because when I heard it the first time, I was like, that's a whole bunch of BS. And so you might think that too when I'm sharing this with you. But as I've really integrated this way of thinking, I've found it empowering. So what she told me was no one has the power to shift how you're being unless you give them the power, unless you allow them to. And I was like, well, no, of course people have power to shift who I'm being in the world. Because if someone's really mean to me, like I'm going to be upset, right? If someone says something cruel to you, you're probably going to be affected by that. However, I think that this really looks at this idea of where's your energy? And if I'm constantly trying to fight against what is true, what is not in my control, then it's like I'm rolling a really heavy rock up a hill. And it's going to be really challenging and feel really hard. So when we actually start to focus our energy on what we can control, our own reaction, that shifts the power back into our hands or your hands. So I think that this one's really big. And I think it's really easy to say, and it's not easy to practice. And in a lot of the work that I do with my clients, we really are looking at how do we actually implement this and practice it. So let's go to the third one, which is practicing compassion. So compassion is also a word that's thrown around a lot. But one thing here that I find really important is that reminding myself that everyone is on their own journey and everyone is truly doing the best that they can. And I think the first time that I heard that one, everyone's doing the best they can, I was like, that one is not true either. And I was like, that's a whole bunch of BS. But I've realized that over time that it actually serves me to believe that. Because if I take that on, then I approach situations with more empathy and understanding, even if someone I feel like is treating me unfairly or is not very nice. Essentially, reminding ourselves that we have no idea what they have going on, that everyone is, you know, in their own world and fighting their own battles and trying to understand that we actually will never really understand why they might be doing something and that we won't really know where they might be coming from when they chose to do the thing that they did. So this is, just like the first one and the second one, easier said than done. And it can really serve us because when we realize that, okay, hey, if I make up a story and I say, hey, look, this person might be really struggling with something today. They could have just found out that their mom has cancer. They could have just got let go from their job. They could have had a really, really challenging childhood that has caused them to be that way. And instead of me feeling a sense of pity towards them, I feel compassion, like, oh, that must be tough. And they're really doing the best they can today. That serves me. And perhaps you can try it on and see if it serves you. So the fourth one is something that I actually kind of said earlier, and it's really mixed all together, but it's choosing your story. So we're always making up stories. A way that I like to put this is we are meaning-making machines, and the stories that we tell ourselves essentially shape our reality. It's essential that we are choosing narratives that empower us. So choose a narrative that empowers you and supports your growth, that gets you closer to who you want to be being. And be mindful of all of the other narratives that you tell yourself about any event, the life events that you've had leading up to now and your future. And essentially, we want to channel our energy, focus our energy, focus our thoughts on the empowering stories that propel us forward, that move us forward. For example, it doesn't serve you to maybe believe that someone doesn't like you. I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to think of someone that maybe you've thought about that before. You thought that they didn't like you. Someone that maybe you're around on a regular basis. And embody that story for a moment. They don't like me. I want you to think about how you would show up with them. What would it feel like? Would you be more insecure or more secure? Would you be more confident or less confident? Would you be more yourself or less yourself? Would you be vulnerable? Would you tell them something that you're struggling with? Probably not, right? So it matters, the story that we're telling ourselves. I'm not saying like go through life in a way that makes you delusional, okay? So I want to be clear about that. However, what I am saying is that choose a middle ground, a story that is actually going to serve you, that's going to have you show up in a way that you truly want to show up. So one for me that has been really helpful in business and in life is my success is inevitable. That's a story that I tell myself. My success is inevitable. Because guess what? If I tell myself that, I don't, one, feel a ton of pressure to get everything done yesterday, which is a common thing for me. It makes it feel more spacious in my business and in my life. And I'm more able to be at peace and to take action from a peaceful place, which is what I'm committed to. Another empowering story when we look at perhaps if we're thinking that people don't like us or something like that is like, hey, like there's going to be some people that I'm their cup of tea and some people they're not. There's going to be some people that are going to love this podcast and there's going to be some people that don't. And guess what? They get to choose. So one of the things that I think about when it comes to something like that is like, hey, look, if I can help one person, great. I did my job. So I'm constantly telling any client that if they're new to the coaching world or the business world and they're working on putting themselves out there is like, hey, focus on where you are making the impact. Those are the stories. Those are the narratives that we tell ourselves and they shape our reality and they're important. We are going to be making up stories anyway. So we might as well make up stories that serve us and that have us step into being the best versions of ourselves and the most committed, devoted, compassionate, peaceful, calm version of ourselves. Because we know that when we are that way, that we're better able to serve others, to live out our purpose, to help anyone and everyone. So the four steps are know your truth, accept what you can't control, put your energy into what you can control, your reaction, practice compassion, taking on that belief everyone is doing their best, and choose your story. So how you can start to apply this in your own life is pay attention to situations that trigger your reactivity. Where are you reactive? And practice the steps that we just discussed and see how your response to the challenge transforms. Sometimes what I like doing is looking at something that I've already been through and thinking through the steps and how I would have done it differently, not as a way to shame myself or make myself feel bad, but as a way to just practice and see how it could have gone differently. Another thing that might be really useful is seeing how you've done this before. I'm sure there's been a situation where you have stayed calm and collected when things are chaotic or challenging. And remember that your inner peace is your greatest strength. So when you have that peace, one, you're going to be magnetic to other people, but two, you're going to be a great leader. Meaning a great parent, great at running your business, great at leading your team, and at leading yourself, which is honestly what we're talking about right now, which is like when you are peaceful, you lead yourself well, and you ultimately lead others well too. So I want to leave you with a passage that I love, and this is from like my yoga days. And so this is from a book that's called The Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. And it's sutra, which also translates to like thread. They have these like threads that you can like kind of live by. And they're like little pieces of wisdom that I find really useful. And this is sutra 133. And it states this: by cultivating attitudes of friendliness toward the happy, compassion for the unhappy, delight in the virtuous, and disregard toward the wicked, The mind stuff retains its undisturbed calmness. I'll say it one more time. By cultivating attitudes of friendliness toward the happy, compassion for the unhappy, delight in the virtuous, and disregard toward the wicked, the mind stuff retains its undisturbed calmness. So I hope that that is useful for you and you got some nuggets from this today to carry with you in the next week. If you haven't already, subscribe to our newsletter. We have some really fun announcements coming out and things that you might be interested in if this was useful for you today. So hopefully you have done that. And I will catch you guys on the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you took some value from today, be sure to share it with me by leaving a review so that I can keep the good stuff coming your way. If you aren't already following me on social media, come soak up the inspiration on Instagram by following along at WellWolf or visiting the website at wellwolf.com. I can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. In the meantime, be well, be wild.